Madison, Wisconsin is as good as it gets if you are like me and you love the college sports.
This is The Jump Around with Jim Rutledge and Pablo Iglesias, streaming live on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
Plants him down the sidelines, and they catch him now! The Badgers answer instantly. There will be no undefeated champion on Wisconsin with an unbelievable stretch drive to the championship game.
Gordon again! Inside the five, touchdown! What a performance by Melvin Gordon!
Chucky Hepburn, Big Ten on the line! Yes!
It's over! The Wisconsin Badgers win 17-9. They are the first Big Ten team ever to win successive Rose Bowl games.
That is the best college sports town in America.
Welcome into The Jump Around, a Badger-dedicated show live on the ESPN Madison and the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channels. I'm Jim Rutledge. I am working from home today because I have a sick young daughter. Pablo Iglesias back at the Everlight Solar Studio with Riley Yauch. And boys, it is a fantastic Tuesday here as we have the opportunity to talk about the Badgers beating Brett Bielema and number 21 Illinois with a win that felt dominant. Arguably the best win in the Luke Fickell era, the Badgers beat Illinois 27-10.
Man, it's just still, we're buzzing off of that one. Riley and I, we were on the post-game show too. Usually that's a two-hour affair, but we decided we wanted to go into overtime. That's how fired up we were. That's what the emotions were. And I agree with you, Jim. This was by far the most impressive win in the Luke Fickell era. And bouncing off of that and building off of it, we liked what we saw in the Washington game, and hopefully this creates that idea that you can keep doing that now, because we get it. Losing this entire season, it hasn't been fun, but you know what? I just keep going back to it. It takes one match to start a fire, and all you got to do is string in those wins. And no matter how you do it, just keep building momentum. Keep doing what you're doing, and man, Wisconsin could be in a much, much better territory if they keep building off of this one.
And let's get right into it with the glass half full from that game, Pablo and Riley. There was a lot to be excited about. The defense is why I picked the Badgers to win that game. And the defense is why they won that game. Carter Smith was adequate. He was everything they needed to be. 75 yards passing. The move to Hunter Simmons was weird, but the offense was good enough. They got that one big play. The defense was outstanding. And for me, the cup half full is this defense, I think, will carry over to Minnesota. Minnesota's got a pretty terrible defense, so hopefully the Badgers' offense will look better next week. But my biggest half full was how outstanding the Badgers defense has looked for the entire season. Maybe a few blips here and there against the elite teams, but the defense more or less has shown up to be a top 25 defense this year. It's been the offense that's left them behind.
The half full for me is just overall of what we've seen, the progression over time in these games that, let's be honest, they've been in these close games before and unfortunately weren't able to finish the job. And how do you build off of that? How do you learn from that? I think this, again, gives you good momentum. You can show that small bit of growth, but growth nonetheless, that you've learned from those last games. How do you finish the job? Those other situations when Wisconsin was had Oregon on their toes, they had a chance against Penn State. Unfortunately, it didn't pan out the way that you'd hope it would, but you go in there rather than those last games where it's like, oh, well, hopefully they do everything they can to play to not lose. They went into this game knowing that they could go in and win this game. They had a vigor behind them. They had something. Brett Bielema's back in that house. There's a lot of energy because the last time Brett was there, he put this whole program into the tailspin. And now Luke Fickell is 2-0 against Illinois after a gutsy win on the road a couple years ago to this one, a very convincing win. That's my half full is how they built off that momentum. And it's just very, very invigorating. It's energizing. I don't know how else to put it, man. It's just good vibes across the board.
Yeah, for me, my half full, there's so many half fulls to choose from. I feel like we've struggled
it's just
this
full.
Year. We even sort of like retired the segment for the most of the season because there was nothing good to talk about. And I could talk about the big plays on the offensive side of the ball, the violence that I claimed is their identity. But I'm going to go with leadership. Darrell Peterson specifically. He's Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week. He had 3 sacks. Christian Allegro was making plays. Vinny Anthony scored the opening touchdown on senior night, which was awesome. But the leadership, the seniors. Last year we saw this team and all the veterans quit. And it was very obvious. And they wilted down the stretch and no one believed in themselves or the direction of where this team was going. And we've seen the exact opposite this season, and Illinois is the shining example. They beat the Illini pillar to post. It was not close. And Darrell Peterson, senior, he's been here through Paul Chryst, through Jim Leonard, through everything in the Luke Fickell era, and who is the man who spoke up at halftime when it was 10-7 and the coaching staff was a little worried it could end up like Illinois last week? Darrell Peterson steps up, gives a rousing speech to the team, and sends them out fired up, and they play a phenomenal second half to really bury the hatchet into Illinois and have a fantastic win. So I think the leadership this season has been markedly improved, and that's been the major difference in how they're finishing right now. So that's my big half full.
Yeah, Riley, I agree with you. This game was a domination. Pablo, I like your points about the Badgers finishing, but this was not a tight game. They dominated this game. Pillar to post, I like that, Riley. They handled it. This is the most complete game I've seen Luke Fickell and the Badgers play in his era. And that was a dominant performance. And I'm proud of it. It was great. The half empty, where the hell was that all year? that would be the first one.
Fair enough.
And we got to be honest. The Badgers can't throw the football. And so that is concerning. Carter Smith is improving incrementally. And there's still going to be a massive question about what do you do a quarterback going into next year, because incremental growth isn't enough to make you feel like you're going to have that quarterback for next year when you need to win 7-8 games. I think Carter Smith has played himself into the mix and played himself, depending on who they sign in NIL, as the leader in a clubhouse. But the passing game still needs a lot of work. Carter Smith still needs a lot of work. And I'm just bringing that up because we're doing half empty here. So, yeah, where was his performance all year? And Carter's got a long way to go as a thrower.
The half empty on my side is essentially, again, like I said, it does – you can build off of these things, but you have to do that. You have to build off these wins. You have to show that growth, because even if Chryst McIntosh has said Luke Fickell's back next season, we believe in him, we're going to commit, we're going to make sure that from the Ted Kellners of the world and the Badgers side, that they're going to do everything they can to pump more resources into this program. Now you got to make sure that you actually live up to that word, that you actually continue this development. Don't just say that it's these 2 wins and, heck, hopefully a third after this week in the month of November and just call it a day. No, you have to use these as building blocks now. You have to use these as your stepping stones. So I guess in a way for me, the half empty is like, all right, you got to show it now. You got to show it. You got to actually prove that you're worth the full investment. You're behind the words that you're saying here. I will stand by it still. Like I said, walk the walk and talk the talk. I think this program can do it. But you know what? We got to see a little bit more of it. And I'm hoping that is the big key word that I'm going to use here, is hope, that they can do that and push forward.
Yeah, my half empty, similar to yours, Jim. I mean, man, it would have been nice to see this against Iowa or Maryland, or that first half against Indiana against Ohio State. Totally agree there. But I've defended a lot of Fickell's head-scratching decisions this season. But what are you doing putting Hunter Simmons in right before halftime, man? Like, come on. Like, I understand the thought process. You want to push the ball down the field, throw it a little bit. Like, just let Carter Smith try. Like, Hunter Simmons did jack squat. He made one nice completion, and that was it. And then he threw 2 or three bad balls in a row, and Vaikos ended up nailing the long field goal. To his credit, Vaikos actually had a great game too, which was very nice to see. But like, what are you doing? Just let Hunter Simmons be the veteran leader on the bench. Let him help Carter Smith out, and let Carter wing it a little bit. I understand not wanting to turn the ball over in a tight game, but that just didn't make sense to me. It's Hunter Simmons. I feel like your odds of turning the ball over are pretty damn similar with Carter Smith. So that was my half empty.
It's a little risky. It was a little risky when he rolled in.
Just a little bit.
It is Axe Week. It is fun, and the Badgers are the ones that made this a rivalry by not dominating Minnesota like they used to. I want to say it was 17 or 18 years of beating Minnesota in a row. PJ Fleck has made this a rivalry, not so much by winning, but by just being one of the most annoying human beings in the Big Ten Conference. He is wildly unlikable. He is someone that I hope the Badgers never have that type as their coach, because it's someone you don't ever want to have to root for. He seems completely disingenuous. He seems completely phony, and he always seems to be looking and waiting for the next job. So he is someone to very much dislike and easy. The entire definition of the Badgers football season rides on Saturday. If they win and bring the Axe back to Madison, they're going to end up with 5 wins. There's an outside random shot at a bowl game. Probably not going to happen. But also, you bring back the Axe, you get the rivalry victory, you win your last 2 games against the or you win 2 out of your last 3 games against ranked opponents. You finish strong, the complete opposite of how last year ended, where there was a soft and bad finish where players looked like they quit. This year, you can finish with young players stepping up, veterans being reinvigorated, and finishing strong. And 5-7, I think, or 5 wins is how a lot of people picked the Badgers to go this year. Not in this way. But if they go out there and bring the Axe back, which I think is incredibly important for the program, for the fan base, for the team, then I think that they can rewrite a season where we all thought Luke Fickell was going to get fired. They go 5-7. You still don't love the vote of confidence in Fickell's coming back, but at least you can say, all right, I see it. Let's give him next year with the soft schedule, and let's see what happens. When I was saying he might need to go, I thought they were going to end with 2 wins, and they were going to look hapless towards the end of the year. That hasn't happened. He's turned it around, and now he can complete the turnaround by beating Minnesota, winning 3 out of their last 4, putting up a good fight against Indiana for half the game, and going ahead and giving them a little momentum from the fan base and maybe NIL as well going into the offseason.
For me, I feel like that this gives you a feel-good moment to going off to your point that, yeah, it's we really thought that this could have been a 2-win season at the very most, and all of a sudden things have turned around. And I defend what I had said, even though it's the record that it's not a great record for his top 25 matchups as the head coach of Wisconsin. 2 wins in that column is not great, but it's to me it's shown success. And building off of that and what happens from here in this Axe game, I do feel like is season-defining. You don't want to be known as a program that's only going to be built off of moral victories, but you know what? This is very much a victory if Wisconsin can go out and get that in this rivalry game. Put something in the trophy case this season, feel good about that, that builds in different ways. I feel like that a win this week solidifies things that are beyond just the wins and loss column, and you go into next season and you build off that momentum and you feel good. Because again, last year's slide was tough. That was not a fun slide to watch last season. But if Wisconsin can flip the script and end on a win, end on a high note, win 3 of their last 4, regardless, winning is contagious. Winning feels good. And like I said, you know what, right now, if we want to just look at this, don't be afraid to have a little bit of tunnel vision right now, believe it or not, in this situation. Just appreciate the wins and know that these guys are feeling good after those wins.
I'd say, is the season a success as a whole? No. You go 5-7, that's not the standard here at the University of Wisconsin. But is the last third of the season a success? You're damn right it's a success. You got 2 ranked wins. You competed with Indiana, and the team was disappointed that they didn't compete better in the second half. And then you just beat the brakes off Minnesota. You bring the Axe back to its rightful home. That That's something to build on. That is a sharp corner turned in the Luke Fickell era, and that's something you can sell to recruits. You got some big ones making their decisions coming up next week. This is a must win. This is very important for the future of the program. So while the season wouldn't be a success, this would be a very, very important game and trophy to recapture for the Badgers. So I'm really excited. This is one of the best rivalries in college football. I absolutely despise Minnesota and everything they stand for. So I cannot be more fired up. I want it to be an absolute pummeling on Saturday at TCF Bank Stadium.
And our clip of the week is tied directly to this game. It is featuring Oklahoma defensive coordinator Jay Vilai, and Oklahoma is having a heck of a season. He is a former Badger. He is a former ESPN Madison intern. And I tweeted this out on my Twitter at Jim Rutledge, and Jay Vilai gave me the like on it as well. You can follow Coach Jay Vilai on Twitter. He is the Oklahoma defensive coordinator, and he is the man who had this hit for the ages.
Around these parts, there's only time for the best of the Badgers.
We don't know exactly where we are right now.
Why don't you own the Wisconsin football team?
We need to play better significantly.
They're spoiled rotten.
This is the clip of the week on the Jump Around.
Go someplace else. Go boo in a bar.
Small town like Corvallis. Here's the pitch and the hard hit.
You guys can see the M fly off. That we'll play it a few times.
So satisfying. First down to Solomon. He was just stupid logo. Puff nasty.
Levy out there.
At the 38.
Mike Newkirk. It's Jay Vilai. Lance Kendrickson. 5'9", 197. Give me Texas. Watch this now.
Ooh!
Yeah, they'll replay it, yeah. So, all the way up here. Obviously, Solomon's no joke about the concussion side of it here. Hopefully, the kid was all right. I'm sure he was, but they'll. Here comes the money line.
That'll knock the wind out of you.
As you said, you feel it a little more when it's 34 degrees or so.
There is no way that dude is not still suffering from brain damage from this hit.
Safeties in the Big Ten, and watch him.
Ooh. Right there, DeAndre Levy, lying great, is part of that as well. But you can see the ammo flying off. And here comes the line of the
helmet tackles that go. He knocked the actual logo off the helmet. Yeah, well, that's how hard the hit was.
Yeah, it's, you know, down close to freezing. And
one more time. I think that was Casillas, Jonathan Casillas. He got knocked down, and Newkirk and DeAndre Levy with helping back with tackle, and Jay Vilai coming through. So that was a hit for the ages. It speaks to the rivalry, and I don't know if Jay still has it, but I do believe Jay was able to procure that M, and he had it at least for a while, but he knocked off of that.
That's a sick souvenir.
That's
that's a trophy. That's a head mounted on the wall. That's a pelt.
That's nice. That's nice. I love it.
And I mean, if that doesn't speak to the ferocity of this rivalry, I think Wisconsin-Minnesota, the Axe game's got to be one of the most underrated rivalries in college football because neither team has been good at the same time. I mean, going back to the 30s and all of Minnesota's national championships they claim pre-World War II, Wisconsin sucked.
Hey, that counts. That counts. No, it doesn't.
I don't know about that. Technically, it does, but anyone can claim a national championship back then. Wisconsin can go back and claim some if they want. Auburn did it, but
RPI champs for basketball.
Then Wisconsin dominated the past 2 decades, so there haven't been really many stakes, so I don't think a lot of people outside of Wisconsin and Minnesota understand what it's like, but it's awesome. You have the best trophy in college football. You have true hatred. Like, we've had Melvin Gordon, I think it was on your show, Jim, where Melvin Gordon's saying that while he doesn't want anyone hurt, he would not be mad if the University of Minnesota's campus just blew up. Like, and just was erased from existence. And I think that's awesome. Screw Minnesota.
I think we had him on over the summer, too. And he had said if the Badgers could only win one game, it would be Minnesota. He doesn't want that to ever be the case. But if there's only one win in that win column for Wisconsin Badgers football, it better be Minnesota.
It is an opportunity to redefine this season, to put a hell of an ending on a tough book. but end it with a great chapter here for Badger football if they can take home the axe. That is our clip of the week. Jay Valai bringing it. Bradley, a little production note here. I want to live watch that with Colin Wilder as he joins the show.
We can do that
later, and I think Colin would appreciate a hit like that. And maybe he doesn't even know that hit exists out there. I don't know how much that's in the Badger lore, Colin, but it should be.
He would appreciate that hit too. Those are the type of hits that Colin Wilder would administrate out when he was in the secondary.
Yeah, Wilder got thrown out for less.
That's true.
Let's get to everyone's favorite segment. It's the Twitter portal.
It's time for the Badgers Twitter portal.
Yeah, it is time to enter the Badgers Twitter portal. And today, we have a couple of topics. One of breaking news significance. It was announced this morning. We got a press release from Patrick Herb at UW Athletics that Wisconsin has landed a 10-year extension with Under Armour as their official uniform and apparel outfitter. There are, in my opinion, as you can see from my tweet here, lots of interesting nuggets from that press release, including that there's going to be an increase in retail apparel for fans to buy, which I'm curious to see what that looks like, or if Wisconsin's going to get more. It's going to be similar to like a Notre Dame-type haul. There's a bajillion Notre Dame things you can buy. And then also more involvement from student-athletes and learning sort of the business side of things and in helping out with design, which I think is interesting, similar to what the basketball team has done every year with their player design uniforms. But what caught my eye the most is that we're getting some new jerseys, some custom uniforms for the Shamrock Series game next year at Lambeau Field. I'm a sucker for alternate uniforms. I love uniforms, so I'm fired up. I really like their Forever Forward ones from 2021. Excited to see what those look like. But as a whole, how do you guys feel Under Armour, Wisconsin, 10 more years? I know I've seen a lot of negative sentiment generally from the public.
As I rock my – I feel like some of the retailers didn't think this was going to continue because I got this no-quit Under Armour thing and a couple other Under Armour Badger things real cheap before the season started. And I felt like there's like, there's a chance that you're going to have to be buying new stuff going forward. Here's my hot take on it. The Badgers' blandness overall – and lack of creativity when it comes to uniforms on the football side of things and their stagnant nature and the lack of apparel and the lack of creativity in the apparel and all that is a Wisconsin Badgers problem, not an Under Armour problem. I have full confidence that if the Badgers bring them good ideas, Under Armour will happily figure out how to execute them. The Badgers have been fuddy-duddies for a long time. It took them a long time to get beer sales into Camp Randall. We've talked before about how either they're ignorant or arrogant when it comes to their program, about how they try to market themselves. And we talk about how your board of directors at times gets caught up and gets stuffy. The Badgers, whether it comes to NIL, whether it comes to game day experience, and especially uniforms, it's on them to loosen up. And if they loosen up, then Under Armour will loosen up and give them what they want. So if you're mad at someone for the lack of super creative uniforms over the last decade with Under Armour, be mad at the Badgers, not Under Armour. I guarantee Under Armour will happily do whatever Wisconsin asks them to do.
I really want, and this, I get when they did this a couple of years ago with the basketball team, and they did the players' jerseys and the players, like, hey, this is something specifically for them. This is something that they get to keep. But man, I would have dropped way too much money to get those alternate jerseys that the basketball team had, and it was like this black pinstripe.
The black pinstripe
that they decided to not sell.
Yeah.
Those were so sick. It was like a hybrid of the Bulls and White Sox Southside uniform. So, in general, that is clearly a source of extra revenue, I feel like. That if you want to sell those jerseys, those are hot items. If you want to keep building up what your facilities look like and everything, you got a prime opportunity right in front of you. Don't be afraid to capitalize on it just because it's like, these are really just the players created them and
it was different with the black uniforms because they had social justice messaging on them.
Okay, fair.
And I think that was why they decided not to sell them.
Those are so
unfortunately
clean,
and they were by far the coolest looking uniforms too that we've had from the players edition once.
Fair enough.
Jim, I think,
appreciate you saying that.
Of course. I think you hit the nail on the head. You look at what Under Armour has done with Utah's uniforms for football. Like, those are sick. They've had
that. Pause it for a second. Utah.
Exactly.
Utah is now more cutting edge than Wisconsin. Sorry,
yes, and that's an Under Armour school. They have the cool hand-painted helmets with the Native American iconography on it. Absolutely fire. You saw last week Northwestern was wearing their Gothic uniforms at Wrigley Field against Minnesota. Like, it's not Under Armour choosing not to give Wisconsin cool stuff. And when it comes to apparel, I think this year especially, Under Armour's really stepped up their game. Like, the hoodie that Fickell wears on the sideline is sick. I've seen tons of players around campus wearing hoodies and jackets from this year's apparel haul, and they're awesome. So I think Under Armour's starting to figure it out on that side of things. But uniform-wise, yeah, it's Wisconsin saying, this is our uniform. We're not going to change anything. The most extravagant thing we're going to do is throw it back to the 90s. And our worst era of football ever, or 80s and 90s, whatever.
So either way.
That era, it's like, what are we doing? This is on Wisconsin choosing not to be cool. Like, fans have been asking for a black uniform for forever. And it's possible to make a sick one. Like the basketball uniforms. Throw some gold in there. Oh, my God.
It's going to be
insane. I'm buying that immediately. Right.
Let's take 2 seconds here. One, I think the Badgers, what's the kid say, like, unk? The Badgers are unk right now. Like,
yes. And it's together. Even Notre Dame, they have the most tradition out of damn near any college in America. Yeah. And they get more experimental and have more fun with their uniforms than Wisconsin, which is unacceptable, in my opinion.
Yeah, put the Badger on there. Put Bucky on a helmet. Put an actual Badger on there. Put some on the logo. Just give it a whirl.
If you're going to go all red,
Under Armour will happily print these for you. They're not charging you per uniform. Like, just... it's good marketing for Under Armour. They would love to do it. I guarantee it. Play with the colors. Play with how they're designed. Go with the matte, more matte colors. And come on.
All black uniforms. Then you get a blackout. Then you get more merch into the stands. You get people buying in on this. Come on. Come on. Yes. Let's do it.
Yeah, it's not hard. Yeah. So quickly now, last thing before Colin Wilder joins us. Bold prediction for Wisconsin versus Minnesota. We had Dr. Marte thinking about how Wisconsin's front seven is going to do Minnesota's awful O-line. We might have 10 sacks. So whether it be 10 sacks, Carter Smith throwing 2 touchdowns. Bold prediction for Wisconsin-Minnesota. Pablo, go.
Let's say Darian Dupree breaks 200 yards. Is that bold?
That's bold.
Let's go with it. Darian Dupree is going to build off of that momentum. The offensive line, fingers crossed, all healthy. He's going to be playing their fifth straight game together as a unit. More blocking, more good opportunities. Darian Dupree is just getting started.
I'm going to make mine team related, but it'll happen during this game. The Badgers will pass 83 points in the Big Ten. I think they need 9 points to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, easy. Let's go.
Darian Dupree needs about 80 yards, I believe. Maybe it's 90 to get 400 for the year. He needs 408 to pass the number that we came up with Melvin Gordon ran for 408 and 3/4. We wanted one Badger running back to run for 408 for the year. And there's been injuries and stuff involved in that. So he's going to get hit the 408. And this is not a great stat, but the Badgers they're going to end up with more rushing yards this year than they had passing yards. They're about 100 yards behind right now, rushing to passing. I think they'll make up that gap. And there's going to be 2,000 yards. That's a different story. But I think they're going to end up with more rushing yards than they will have passing yards. But I'm going to take that as a positive because it does speak to Jeff Grimes putting his money where his mouth was and saying, hey, we're going to run the football. And they ran the football.
All right. My bold prediction is the Badgers score 35 points against Minnesota. I mean, recapturing the X, like, that's not that bold. Like, we know it's going to happen. And then Carter Smith throws for 2+ touchdown passes.
Okay.
Even if it's a pop pass.
Hell
so 35 points, 2 touchdown passes for Carter Smith. That is my bold prediction, and that was the Badgers Twitter portal.
All right, before we get to Colin Wilder, I want to tell you about Steinhoffel's biggest Black Friday sale. It's happening right now. Save 10% store-wide and get $50 instant cash back for every $499 you spend. Plus, use your Steinhoffel's credit card and get a $200 MasterCard rewards card when you finance over $1,999. Check out doorbusters like recliners for just $229 and sofas starting at $299. And when you buy a premium mattress, Get a free premium delivery on everything. Shop in-store or online at steinhoffels.com. Don't wait. These deals will not last. Colin Wilder coming up next.
Hey, Wisconsin. Steinhoffel's biggest Black Friday sale is happening now. Save 10% store-wide and get $50 instant cash back for every $4.99 you spend. Plus, get a $200 MasterCard rewards card when you use your Steinhoffel's credit card. And get amazing doorbusters like recliners $229,
sofas $299.
Plus, buy a premium mattress and get free premier delivery on everything. Shop in-store or online at steinhoffels.com.
And the last time we had this guest on, things were not great for the Wisconsin Badgers, but it's good to bring on Colin Wilder now to talk positively about where this Badger season is heading towards at the end here, Colin. And thanks for taking the time to join us. And for me, this season feels almost like the reverse last year, where last year it started out, there was high hopes and they kind of sputtered down the end. And maybe it looked like some of the players, I hate to say quit, but maybe just ran out of motivation. This year, the team is motivated. The young guys are motivating the veterans. Now the veterans are motivating the young guys. And it really is something fun to see come together these last few weeks, beating Washington, giving a hell of an effort against Indiana, and then taking down Brett Bielema at Camp Randall again on senior day. The seniors showed up. The youngsters showed up. It's been a heck of a last few weeks.
Yeah, I was talking about this the other day of what would you rather have in this season of whether – hitting rock bottom late or early and finishing strong or starting out hot. And I would much rather for this Badger team to be finishing strong going into 2026 with a lot more momentum than kind of taking that deep dive into a deep hole late in the season. And then we're really wondering what we're going to be looking like in 2026. Now, this whole team could be an entirely different team in 2026, or, you know, hopefully we can get these guys back and keep this culture of what it is of guys who have hit rock bottom and climbed their way out into some momentum to end the year. So I think you're right where you want to be relative to what the season was and what it's become, and then how these guys have fought and given a lot of positivity and hope for this team and for these fans. So we have a lot to be excited about. And, you know, the big thing now is finishing against against Minnesota and getting that axe back. I mean, that would be really the cherry on top of these last several weeks.
Colin, a lot of momentum going into this game. It's axe week in general. I know we're talking with all you guys over the years, like this is a big week. This is the game that everybody circles on the calendar. To talk about the last few weeks, though, what have you seen in this team? What have you seen in the program that just seems different over these last few weeks that's built this momentum up to this point?
I think you see a different change of just relentless mentality from all phases, right? I mean, we're playing clean on special teams. We're finding a way to put up points and stay ahead of the sticks on offense. And then defense is flying around and getting to the quarterback. I mean, the great defenses really expect to have a second quarterback going to the game for how much pressure you're applying. And I think that mentality seems like a really real thing for this defense. And, you know, you just see guys flying around. They're not playing to not lose. They're playing to win. And I think that's spread out among all the players and the coaches right now. It's just a different mentality and confidence. And there's just something about when you win games, or there's a specific win where you kind of find a rhythm and find some confidence between your ears on what you're capable of. And you kind of feel that with this group right now. And it's the perfect time to do it right before Axe Week.
Speaking of Axe Week, and there's so many big moments, you know, block punts to win games and things like that for the Badgers during Axe Week. There's one I want to set up here, but he played back in the era when I covered this team. So more like 07 through 2009, 2010. But Jay Vilai, a safety from Texas, is a former Badger, former ESPN Madison intern, current defensive coordinator for Oklahoma. Did you ever cross paths with Jay? Do you remember that name, Jay Vilai, watching the Badgers?
I've never crossed paths with him. I've always wanted to shake his hand, because y'all can correct me if I'm wrong, but there's that one play where he knocked the logo off of a Minnesota player.
That's what we want to watch with you right now.
So that is what he's known for me, and that's why I have so much respect for him, just from one freaking play.
So we're going to play that clip for you, and you can see the M fly off. I know from Jay that at least for a very long time he had that M. But let's watch the clip, and you can talk through it, talk over it. But Riley, go ahead and fire up the clip.
Small town like Corvallis. Here's the pitch and the hard hit. A couple of mouthpieces coming out at the end.
And just about
and that's Matt Shaughnessy, who played in the NFL. DeAndre Levy played in the NFL there as well. I think O'Brien Schofield is in there, played in the NFL. That was a heck of a defense.
The headgear came.
Tell you what,
off,
you get arrested even for a hit like really that on a run play. This day and age.
Yeah, did you see the M fly off of that there?
Solomon's still feeling it.
I don't know where it went.
You'll show it again, and you get a chance. If you watch for it, game. You kind of look at the bottom of the screen. Yeah, it is off. Yep. 34 degrees or so. Here, watch it. Now look at the bottom of the screen. You'll see it go flying.
Safeties in the Big Ten, and watch him. Oh, just a helmet. Right.
Oh yeah, there it goes.
Yep, right there, right around the 36-yard line.
There are a lot of helmet-to-helmet tackles that go. He knocked the actual logo off the.
What's
helmet.
Even better is he needs help off the field.
Right. Yep. And the line from the announcer, he knocked the actual logo off the helmet. Colin, obviously, that's a hit you know very well, even from this series. That's a hit that doesn't happen anymore.
No. You can't even think to play another snap if that hit happens again, even if you hit him with your face mask. I mean, especially this year, I don't know what's targeting and what's not. I can't figure it out. I don't think I've ever figured it out, and I never will. So, yeah, it's a different day and age, and you know, you used to watch highlights like that, hoping that would be you every play in the, you know, when you play a game. Junior high highlights, I'd watch, you know, college football's biggest hits, and you know, you see everything going on that would be a criminal charge in this day and age.
Colin, I've been asking a couple Badgers, former Badgers, what this rivalry means in one word. I know it's going to be tough. So far, I've gotten incandescent, incendiary, vehement, unbridled, relentless. If you want to break out the thesaurus, feel free. But your word, one word to describe Axe Week. What's Colin Wilder's word?
I think sacrifice is is the word for me. Because no matter what's going on this week, no matter what your body feels like, if you can go out there and play, that's what you're going to do. And you're going to sacrifice your body. You're sacrificing your time this week of preparation. You're sacrificing Thanksgiving, right, with your family. I mean, sacrifice to be able to come out with the axe and start chopping the goalpost is what it takes. And, you know, I've seen a lot of guys find a way to play in this game because it's so important to them. And it was a blessing to be a part of a program with so many alums around and guys that just knew what it meant. And they played in this game, right? And so the entire week from the moment you stepped in the weight room on Sunday to when you stepped onto the field on Saturday, you could feel it in the air of what this game meant. And the message was very clear in that building. And, you know, I'm from Texas. So I grew up watching SEC and Big 12 more than anything else. And my first year in 2018, I had to sit out that year. And every Monday, there's always a message from a coach for the week. And once we got to Axe Week, I just remember hearing the message from the coach on how very clear that we hate Minnesota and how important this rivalry game is. And I knew about the Axe. You know, I was aware of it, but I wasn't aware of how much we hated Minnesota and why, right? And I came accustomed to it very quickly once we lost that axe and you had the seniors in the locker room bawling, crying that, you know, they'll never have an opportunity to play in this game again and get it back. So it was eye opening for me. And then from then on, I mean, I was completely bought into the rivalry and bought into to what this game meant. And that's what I really want these guys to see. You guys for portal guys. You got a lot of guys who are never before who will be playing snaps this Saturday. So that's where the leadership, the coaches, you got to make it very clear on how important this game is. And, you know, I think that's in this different day and age, we got to make sure that these boys are aware of what this game means to this program.
So as you said, you grew up in Texas. It's the Red River rivalry. There's a lot of big ones down there. Where does this rank? Is, you know, you've experienced a lot in the South. Then up here, as you're talking about it, you obviously have kind of from a fan and player perspective, a good view on college football rivalries. Where do you think this one falls?
Amongst all of college football, if you get immersed in it and if you get around it, this is a top three, top five rivalry for everyone to understand. I mean, I know you got Texas OU, you got Auburn, Alabama, you got Ohio State, Michigan. Even Oklahoma State, Oklahoma is a big one too. I mean, just being down south, but this game especially is something that if you grew up around the Midwest, this game means something. And this is bragging rights. This is a hatred filled rivalry. You know, you don't talk about respect too much in this, but you do respect your opponent, obviously, in their preparation. I know PJ Fleck, one thing that I can say positive about him is he knows how to play the Badgers. He knows how to prepare his guys. You have to respect that in order to find a way to be successful in this game. But that's the beauty of the rivalry game. And but if you're around it, if you get a taste of it, you'd understand.
Colin, we touched on it a little bit. I know the last go around, we wanted to have you in that one, and that call. I'll tell you, I was not a fan of the call left and right. I don't know. I was in the building for that one. Wish you were out there on the field, but you talk about it too with guys like Darrell Peterson, who balled out last week. You got to share the locker room with them a little bit. You mentioned this is the last game for a lot of these guys, especially on that defense. If you're Darrell Peterson, if you're the guys in that locker room, you know, what's that speech? What's the advice that you give for the guys who are balling out with the Badgers one last time for this game?
I say there is nothing left to give after this game. Nothing is guaranteed. I mean, it's a long shot. We talk about, you know, I've seen – you know, some stuff on Twitter about a bowl game. This is the last game, right? And that's your mentality as a player. And what more do you have to give after this game? There should be absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. I don't care what it takes, what your body feels like, what energy that you have after the game. It should be completely empty. The tank needs to be emptied, and you need to do it for each other. And the feeling of having that axe, especially as a senior, and chopping down the goalpost, I didn't get a chance to do that in my last game. The seniors in my class didn't get to do that. And you sacrifice so much all year long, to enjoy those type of moments. That's why you come to Wisconsin, to enjoy the wins as a brotherhood. And this is your opportunity to do that. This is your opportunity to go out on a high note and to remember your final game at Wisconsin being victorious with the axe. And so, again, empty the tank. Absolutely empty the tank. That'd be the message to the boys.
Colin, the last thing I have for you is clearly this is going to be an emotional game. The Badgers, to their credit, with all these ranked opponents they've played, have been in these games this year. But there's a lot of emotion for the seniors. Then you throw in the rivalry and you throw in the axe. And it's a lot for players to get ready for a game. How do you walk that line of not getting – not too right, but too hype for a game, to be able to come out you don't want to come out nervous, you don't want to come out with too much energy or trying to do too much. So how will these seniors try to help the youngsters make sure that they find that balance of intensity, but also playing within yourself?
Yeah, I think the intensity really needs to come from the prep during the week, making sure your scout team guys are detailed on the look that they give throughout the week, making sure that we're detailed on the game plan, guys are dialed in. Thanksgiving week, right? So, you know, on Thursday, making sure that, yeah, like you have a good time, like with your team activities, but, you know, you're going to get out of routine a little bit. You're not going to be in school. I mean, make sure that you find your routine that gets your rest. Make sure that there's no distractions. I mean, the last thing we need is to do something that we could completely control to become a distraction. That's a huge thing this week. And then once you get to the game, I mean, I always talk to the guys like, you know, we don't get too high, too low. Anytime we get too high, it's always for good things. And we don't get too high for negativity. And we just stay even keel to make sure that we're focused on doing our job properly. But don't go out of your routine. Don't go out of it. Make sure that you're staying whatever's worked for you all year as a player. Keep doing it this week. And the game is the same. The game's going to be played the same as you played the last 11. So let's make sure that we're just staying consistent with that. I mean, I think that's a good message for guys who, especially some young guys, freshman football players who are going to be playing for us this week, to just understand, I mean, not to get out of your routine.
Colin, thank you so much for hopping on and talking about rivalry. And I'm glad we had you on for like good news. So the Badgers are finishing strong. The defense is looking great. And hopefully we'll have some excitement going into this offseason.
Yeah, I appreciate y'all having me on. Hopefully these fans can enjoy a little bit of positivity more. Don't we think, boys?
That'd be great. Yes,
absolutely.
That'd be nice.
I think one more win and we're all going to feel pretty good about how this year ended. A couple wins against ranked opponents and then take back the axe. There'll be a lot of momentum. Camp Randall will start full next year if that's how the season ends.
100%. 100%.
All right. Thank you, Colin. That's Colin Wilder. This has been The Jump Around. I'm Jim Rutledge along with Pablo Iglesias and Riley Yauch. Thanks for watching.